Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me.
Good morning, friends. This is the day that God is making. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day. This is the day that God is breathing new life into our bodies. And so we give thanks for the gift of life and for being able to be together, even in this virtual space, to worship God. My name is Pastor Katie, and my pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm pastor at Tabernacle United Church, and I'm so glad to welcome you to worship this morning. Wherever you are, and whoever you are welcome here in this space, and you are welcome in God's presence, for God loves and is always seeking us and bringing us into God's presence. So you are welcome here, and we give thanks that you're here with us. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we're thankful that you're here. Thanks for being with us. And we invite you, if you'd like and feel comfortable, to introduce yourself in the chat feature. Let us know your name and that you're with us. We would love to welcome you. You can also fill out a visitor card. Our tab visitor card here is a virtual visitor card. And if you could take a moment, perhaps after the service, to go on that link and let us know a little bit about yourself. We would love to connect further and follow up with you. I have just a few announcements to share this morning. First, I want to give thanks that our office manager, Shell, who is often the host for our Zoom meetings, she is on vacation, so we give thanks for that. She needs good rest. Everyone needs rest, so we're grateful that she can take that time. And also, at the same time, I want to give thanks for Gina Del Corazon, who is our host this morning on Zoom. Thank you, Gina, for your service and gift to us this morning. Also want to give thanks and celebrate that Sana Del Corazon is preaching for us again this morning. If you haven't had a chance to hear Sana, today you will. And this is a great, I'm so thankful for Sana's witness and word and ministry in our midst. So we're thankful and excited to hear the word that she's going to bring us today. A couple other things. Today is also, we're starting our Tab EDU series, which is our adult education series, on called Defund the Police, the Abolition Curriculum. And it is a curriculum given out by the Mennonite Church USA. And we are going to be following this curriculum for 9 weeks throughout the summer and into September. And this today is our first session at 11:45. And this really is going to be a rich and deep time for us to be engaging with what our faith has to say about systems of violence, systems of coercion and punishment. What does our faith have to say about policing? And so it's a time where we're going to be learning about those systems and also allowing and hopefully imagining with the Spirit collectively, how we could build a different world where all of us can be safe and flourish without the threat of violence. So this is an important time, and we're excited to dig into these conversations. So you are welcome. We'd love for you to join today at 11:45. We will just be in the same meeting room. So after service today, we'll have a little bit of break, and then you can sign off and then sign back in if you'd like to join us for that. Again, 11:45. One other announcement just for this week that I want to highlight is that we have the TAB picnic in person outside on Tuesday from 5 to 7. And we're going to be meeting at the Orange Tables. It's going to be on the corner of 43rd and Baltimore is Clark Park entrance. So there are some Orange Tables and people are going to be gathering there. You can bring food. We're going to be outside, and we ask that folks wear masks. We will have children there. So we want to still have masks on, except for when we're eating, of course. But you are welcome to come for all of that or any of that time from 5 to 7 at Clark Park on this coming Tuesday, June 15th. So those are our announcements today. And let us now take a moment to take some deep breaths as we come into God's presence and are mindful of coming into God's presence as we worship and call ourselves to worship.
Let us be called to worship. Friends, come into this space where all are welcome, where all are beloved.
In this year of trouble, this year of change and loss, we clung to the moments of touch, the fragments of words that brought us together so briefly.
This morning, help us give thanks for the connections we were allowed.
Give us hope that we will soon join each other, touching each other's hands, breaking bread, and singing.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, I'm excited to share a new song, a song that came out of a desire to accompany the abolition curriculum with music. So this song is called God Is Not Confined, and I was very lucky to have Jennifer Jordan help me with the message and some of the language of this song. Thank you, Jennifer.
Sure. I am not a songwriter. I am a reader and a thinker, and when Pax came and asked for recommendations or suggestions about language, I really tried to get to some of the patterns that I'm trying to name, both in my life and in the world. So the language isn't, you know, at first blush sacred language, but it's worldly language. The language speaks of the world as being patterned as carcinal. And in that language, I'm thinking about both the way that we, you know, accept a prison industrial complex that like keeps a third of people locked up, and even more impact in certain communities, but also the way that borders and states keep us confined and isolated from each other. When the word brutality is used, it's both about physical brutality, but also the emotional and mental brutality that really kind of defines how we relate to each other and how we think of each other as disposable, and there are things that are disposable in our world. And then the pattern around scarcity and how it impacts both those who don't have what they need, but also all of us, and disrupts our rest, keeps us from resting and relaxing for fear of not having what we need to exist. And so I think this song is an attempt to name the patterns that like impact our lives, impact other lives, because naming is the first step in abolishing those patterns. So I'm excited for the song to be part of our worship and to accompany our work on the abolition curriculum. Thanks, Pax, for the opportunity to collaborate like this.
Of course, thank you. So as you listen to the song, as you hear us sing it, please join in as you become familiar and comfortable with the lyrics. Let's sing together.
Mm-hmm.
is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. The pattern of the world is carceral, but God is not confined. The pattern of the world is brutality, but God is not confined. The pattern of the world is scarcity, but God is not confined. Yes, we know God is not confined. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined to the pattern of this world. God is not confined, God is not confined to the pattern of this world. In God we know, God will make it so. In God we know, God will make it so. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine, we will not confine to the pattern of this world. The pattern of the world is carceral, and we have been confined. Pattern of the world is brutality, and we have been confined. The pattern of the world is scarcity, and we have been confined. But in God we will not confine, we will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. Sing it with me, sing. We will not confine to the pattern of this world. We will not confine, we will not confine to the pattern of this world. In God we go, we will make it so. Amen. Amen. I'm waking up to the fear and pride all around me and inside. I'm shedding all that holds me back.
Serve God's people everywhere. Lord, give me strength to stay on track. We'll tear down walls that keep us bound and free the captives all around. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul. God's justice may.
Let us pray. Lord, we stand at the beginning of what we hope will be a new day, a new time. We are sickened by the wreckage of the world. We grieve for ruined streets and lives and hopes all around us. We have become experts at grief. We have learned to live with anger. We did not want to learn these things. You have shown us through Jesus' life how the world can look. Help us understand how to make a world for all your children. Amen. Please join me now in the prayer of confession. Lord, we are sometimes trapped in the rage and sadness that have shared our tables and our thoughts through this year. We look to things larger than ourselves for answers, for solutions, for something brighter and more loving. We hear words about a new creation, about a world transformed, but these are the only words. God, help us make words into new creations that we can hold. Help us change ourselves as we struggle to change our world into a place that is fit for all your children to live. Hear these words of assurance. God created us as beings who can change. God created us as beings who can mourn a ruined world, then work to repair it. God will not abandon us as we struggle to change ourselves and the world. Thanks be to God. This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Let's center ourselves by singing this song of praise with text by Isaac Watts and music by Richard Smallwood.
Yes, amen, amen. And now, friends, let us take a moment to pass the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all understanding, that is given to us by the Spirit and by Jesus. We receive that peace and share it with one another. So if you can take a moment, unmute, and let's pass the peace of Christ with one another. And may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And also with you.
And also with you. Peace. Good morning.
Also with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace
to everyone.
Peace,
good
morning.
Peace.
Rob Thornton.
Hey, Sana.
Peace,
Rob.
Peace, Katie.
Peace,
Pax.
Peace be with you all.
Peace,
Heather.
Peace,
everyone. Hey, Mav and Amanda.
Hey, Heather Bird. Peace be with you.
Lynn and Lynn. Good
peace,
to see you.
Lynn, Rose, Mar.
Hey, Rob. Peace.
Peace, Chris.
Lucinda.
Peace,
Johnetta. Good morning.
Peace, Lucinda.
Peace.
Peace, Scott. Peace. Amy and Jake.
Peace. And Vic. Peace. Good morning.
Good morning, Priscilla.
Peace, Jim. Gerard.
Peace be with peace. You.
Hey, Amanda.
Alaska.
In Alaska, yeah, good to see you. And Jeff.
Peace, Todd. Peace,
Jeff
Nicole.
Parker. Peace be with you. Welcome.
Peace.
Peace. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
All right. Carly Frieders, peace be with you.
Nick Gibson.
Peace.
Peace, Ron.
Peace, everyone.
Charlene.
Thank you. Peace,
peace,
everyone.
Priscilla.
Everybody.
Peace, Jean.
Peace.
Hi, Jess.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, Jess.
Oh, peace, Geneva.
Hi.
Wonderful.
Peace.
Peace, Auntie Laura.
And Jamisia, welcome. Peace be with you.
Hi, Jamisha.
Jamisha, thank you.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter, verses 15 to 17. Hear these words. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is now the time in our service where we invite children and anyone else who would like to join to come to to come closer for the children's time. And if you're someone who'd like to be a part of a smaller group of folks, go down to the reactions button on your Zoom menu on the right-hand side and raise your hand, and you'll be a part of that smaller group. But let's sing to invite those folks forward.
Good morning, everyone.
My name is Nicole. My pronouns are she and her, and this is Elliot, pronouns he and him. And as our usual, we have a book to share with you today.
And this is Dorothy right here.
Oh, and this is Dorothy, our cat, who we're gently going to put down now. Elliot, what's the name of the book that we're sharing? Can you show the cover to everyone?
The Day the Clams Quit.
Does anyone out there know this book? If you do, you can wave your hands. Okay, I see a few hands waving. Very nice. So I'm going to share my screen so that you can see some of the pictures along the way. We're only going to read a couple of the letters because this book is filled with letters from different colored crayons. It would take too long to read the whole book, but if you want all the letters, you can get the book yourself. So it starts out saying, Elliot, can you change the pages when I ask you to?
Okay.
One day in class, Duncan went to take out his crayons and found a stack of letters with his name on them. Here's the first letter. It's from Red Crayon. Hey, Duncan, it's me, Red Crayon. We need to talk. You make me work harder than any of your other crayons. All year long, I wear myself out coloring fire engines, apples, strawberries, and everything else that's red. I even work on holidays. I have to color all the Santas at Christmas and all the hearts on Valentine's Day. I need a rest. Your overworked friend, Red Crayon. This is from Beige Crayon. Dear Duncan, I am tired of being called light brown or dark tan because I am neither. I am beige and I am proud. I am also tired of being second place to Mr. Brown Crayon. It's not fair that Brown gets all the bears, ponies, and puppies while the only things I get are turkey dinners, if I'm lucky, and wheat. And let's be honest, when was the last time you saw a kid excited about coloring wheat? Your best friend, oh no, your beige friend, Beige Crayon. From Green Crayon. Dear Duncan, as Green Crayon, I am writing for two reasons. One is to say that I like my work. Loads of crocodiles, trees, dinosaurs, and frogs. I have no problem and wish to congratulate you on a very successful coloring things green career so far. The second reason I write is for my friends, Yellow Crayon and Orange Crayon, who are no longer speaking to each other. Both crayons feel they should be the color of the sun. Please settle this soon because they're driving the rest of us crazy. Your happy friend, Green Crayon. Okay, and one more crayon's letters. From Pink Crayon. Duncan. Okay, listen here, kid. You've not used me once in the past year. It's because you think I'm a girl's color, isn't it? Speaking of which, please tell your little sister I thank her for using me to color in her little princess coloring book. I think she did a fabulous job of staying inside the lines. Now back to us. Could you please use me sometime to color the occasional pink dinosaur or monster or cowboy? Goodness knows they could use a splash of color. Your unused friend, Pink Crayon. Okay, then we get to the end of the story. Well, poor Duncan just wanted to color. And of course he wanted his crayons to be happy. And that gave him an idea. All right, this is the final page. And Elliot, I'm wondering what you see in this page that you're noticing is maybe colored a little differently than sometimes we usually do.
That there's a green ocean, a pink dinosaur, a black rainbow, a green lizard's hat, a green monkey, a green rain cloud, green coming out of the out of an orange whale, rain water coming out of an orange an orange whale.
Thank you for noticing all those things.
A cowboy driving a blue
van or bus, maybe.
Van, yeah. with a blue hippo.
So there's so many things to notice in this picture. And there's a few messages from this book, but I really like to think about how I have found that most often God is in unexpected things. And so for us to notice a little better helps us see God a little clearer. I actually have an artist friend who I've been talking to recently who talks about how when she looks at bark, the bark of trees, she can see all kinds of colors in the bark of trees. And we don't always think about bark that way. Will you pray with me, Elliot? Will you repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for so many colors.
Thank you for so many colors.
Help us to notice and celebrate them.
Help us to notice and celebrate
them. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you on our next song to center yourself for the sermon, to let these words seep in, and to give them for them to give you comfort. Let's sing together. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Praise God. I needed that song. Thank you so much, Pax. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 18, as well as Romans 12, 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians. For now on, therefore, we regard no one from a point of view, from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, siblings, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let us pray. O God of love and liberation, we thank you for this day. I ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive this message. God, use me, even in spite of me, to speak to your people. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts please you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen and ashe. So before I get started on the sermon, I just wanted to say that for those that don't know, I am in seminary. I'm completing my first year. Yay. And I took a sermon writing class in the spring term. And so this sermon is actually a sermon I worked for that particular class. So I had to pick the perfect sermon. It's not the perfect sermon, but it's the perfect sermon for right now. So I just wanted to share that before I get started. Okay. You learn as much from the churches you leave as the ones you stay in, or at least that's been the case for me. A not too long ago church leaving in my life taught me three things. One, church is not a social club. Two, the body of Christ is a site for change and transformation. And three, we cannot change the world unless we change ourselves. Before I started attending TAB, I was a member of another congregation. My family had started attending this church because it was open and affirming, had a lesbian pastor. Was I muted?
That's for the last sentence.
Okay, sorry. I'll start again. Before I started coming to TAB, I was a member of another congregation. My family had started attending that church because it was open and affirming, had a lesbian pastor, and at the time was a religious organization that both my spouse and I felt comfortable attending. That was, of course, before Gina got baptized. We had just moved to the area and were pretty desperate to meet folks and be a part of a spiritual community doing social justice work. So after attending a handful of services, we joined that community pretty quickly. The thing is, I knew that church wasn't the church for me. But like many other families in that congregation, joining the church was a compromise for my spouse and I as couples of different faiths. But that's not why I knew the church wasn't for me. I couldn't explain it at the time, but something told me that church wasn't who or what it presented itself to be. So, doing what I do best, I decided I was going to help them become the church I needed them to be. Within 6 months of attending, I volunteered to help them become a more welcoming church for people like me, queer brown folks who have to attend predominantly white religious institutions because progressive religious institutions with mostly people of color are few and far between. In the process of volunteering, I made a lot of mistakes, including believing I could fix them, like I could fix all my exes by working my magic. Yet I didn't know these people, nor did I love them. And frankly, I think I didn't even like them. I learned enough about them and their organizational culture to figure out what the church needed to create small but significant changes to become a more radically welcoming congregation. During my short period of service, I learned hard but important lessons about church, people, and change when I tried to put up a bulletin board and pictures of staff and move some plants out of the lobby. I learned that change isn't about people, but the thing that you are trying to change. I learned that change is about people, not the thing that you're trying to change. Change must be a core value of the church, and members must buy into it. Most importantly, I learned I can't make people change unless they want to. Simon Peter was a person who was willing to be changed. And for this reason, he was a man after my own heart. But more importantly, he was a man after the heart of Jesus. According to scripture, Simon Peter was one of the first apostles to be named among the 12. Actually, when Jesus first met Simon, he immediately renamed him Peter, which tells you a lot about who Jesus was and what the life that Simon Peter was going to lead. Simon Peter was a fisherman, was a person with a big personality, big heart, and big ego. He and I have nothing in common. After watching Jesus preach on Peter's boat and helping the fishermen bring in a big catch, Peter fell to Jesus's knees and confessed that he was a sinner. Jesus responded by telling Simon Peter he would be a fisherman of men. Peter, being the impulsive person he was, left everything to follow Jesus. Simon Peter would be one of the most colorful disciples in the gospel. He was outgoing, outspoken, gregarious, enthusiastic, and deeply human. He was also bold and impulsive. I think Peter might have been a Leo or Gemini, just saying. Just after their first meeting, Peter invited Jesus and all the disciples to his house, even though his wife was sick in bed. I'm sure she was happy about that. He was feisty and stubborn. Peter refused to allow Jesus to wash his feet during the Last Supper, then relented. He later cut off the ear of the high priest's servant to defend Jesus, then shamefully denied Jesus three times. Yet Peter also had a willing and obedient heart. He desired what was right and holy. In spite of, and maybe even because of his personality and passion, Simon Peter was willing to be changed and transformed through his relationship with Jesus. And perhaps because he reminds me of myself, I fell in love with Peter again when I reread this beautiful story. Because of some of my own unresolved ruptures in my family, in my own life, this story and dialogue between Peter and Jesus is very emotional for me to read. I can feel Peter's deep pain and grief when Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Each time Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, I love you," my heart breaks open, as I'm sure Peter's did at that moment, remembering what he did and how he abandoned his teacher. Jesus responded with, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." I can feel the pain and grief when Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Each time Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, I love you," my heart breaks open. Okay, I repeated myself. Sorry. See, Peter's story did not end when he denied Jesus three times. Instead, it was the beginning of his transformation. Here he is again with his teacher, the Son of God, the God of Israel, who is constantly inviting him and us to redemption and reconciliation. Jesus was inviting Peter into another life in another way. Jesus was shining a light on the dark places of Peter's heart. He was giving him space to repent and reconcile in order to experience the Lord's love and salvation. Without such brokenness and openness, we become full of ourselves and unable to hear and receive the guidance and grace of God. In John 21, the disciples have gone back to what they knew before they knew Jesus. They're fishing again because they aren't sure what they're supposed to be doing while waiting for the great helper, also known as the Holy Spirit, Jesus had promised them. Living in this unknown, uncertain space was uncomfortable, but it didn't mean that they should have returned to the life of their past. Yet, isn't that our human nature? Don't we return to our ways of being and believing and thinking even when we have encountered Jesus Christ? In this passage, Jesus and Peter's relationship has come full circle. They're back where they met, fishing by the sea. But everything is different now. Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. Peter, as one of his closest disciples, has witnessed Jesus' ministry over 3 years and made a lot of mistakes along the way. Jesus appears several times to the disciple before his ascension. And in this story, we witness an intimate exchange between a teacher and his student, a student who has betrayed his teacher during his darkest hour. Peter is in the process of being transformed from a disciple to an apostle. God is preparing Peter as God is preparing you to do great things. And in this moment, Jesus gives Peter the opportunity to reconcile their relationship, something that was key to Peter's transformation. Jesus wasn't interested in what Peter believed. He wanted to know if he loved him. Do you love me, Peter? Jesus asked not, do you know me better now? Not, would you do things differently now? His concern was genuine love. And this is the foundation of our faith and our discipleship with Christ, not what we believe. Instead of rejecting or denying Peter, Jesus graciously restores him and entrusts Peter with the care of his sheep. Peter is painfully aware of how he has fallen short, but he also knows and has experienced God's grace and forgiveness. To move through this, Peter had to tolerate the pain and discomfort of recognizing how he had failed and abandoned someone he loved. Through his sorrow, he has changed and eventually transformed into the person God called him to be. Peter's development and evolution wasn't easy because change and transformation aren't easy. Dying to self, moving from an old to a new self, requires uncertainty and discomfort. But thankfully, we're not meant to do it alone. So weeks later, full of the Holy Spirit and surrounded by his community, Peter boldly proclaims the gospel or good news to the assembled crowd and witnesses to thousands of people who then become believers in Jesus Christ. Through his life and ministry, Peter becomes a humble servant leader, a passionate preacher, teacher, and healer, transformed by the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Peter saw and admitted the error of his ways, repented, and allowed himself to be changed into who he was meant to be. He was no longer the same person he was when he first met Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. And isn't that what we are meant to do ourselves when we become followers of Jesus Christ? How have you been changed and transformed by the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit? How is God asking you to change to become the person you are meant to be in the service of the beloved community? More importantly, are you receptive to the whispers of the Holy Spirit? I ask myself these questions because another lesson I learned from my attempts at trying to help others is that I must be the change I seek. Easier said than done. But how? We are living in a rapidly changing world, and we must be willing to learn, unlearn, relearn to be equipped to live in a world and a new reality where the kingdom of God can reign here on earth. See, what I love about this faith tradition, and in particular, this denomination, is our commitment to living out our faith today. We aren't waiting around for salvation in the afterlife. It's here for us today to have and to hold. But it requires, no, it demands that we must be willing to change, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. I love our commitment to changing and developing and transforming societies, communities, and the world. We are committed to disrupting systems of oppression and the evils of white supremacy and other forces that work against our belovedness, like questioning the role and culture of policing in society and our lives. But like Leo Tolstoy once said, and scripture confirms, everyone wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change themselves. We cannot change the world without changing ourselves. If Peter taught us one thing, it is that we must be willing to change and be transformed as disciples of Christ. The good news is you're not alone. First, we are God's temple and the Spirit lives within us. And God, through the Holy Spirit, is gentle and consensual. It needs your permission to guide you, to correct you, to encourage you, to transform you. It requires your consent. God's goal is to transform you, to help you become the person you are meant to be, to become more like Christ. Being a follower of Jesus means much more than going to church and trying to live a good life. So I repeat again, being the church, the body of Christ, a Christian means allowing the Holy Spirit to change you and transform you. That wasn't only a call for Peter. It is meant for all of us. But it's not going to feel great or be easy. And that's why church isn't a social club. Social clubs feel great. They're fun and lighthearted. And although church can be these things, it is so much more than that. See, social clubs don't necessarily ask you to grow and change, but God requires that of you. Like good parenting, Christianity isn't for the faint-hearted. Church won't always feel great if you're doing it right. I can testify that living in the Spirit is hard but rewarding work. After we left that church, I spent a year churchless and socially isolated. I had been burnt and hurt and felt disheartened. I had to come to terms with how I contributed to what had happened. I knew I needed to be a part of a beloved community in order to continue to become my authentic self, the person God intended me to be. And as I reflected, I realized I needed to get to know and love the people with whom I am in community before I start trying to help. If you know me, if you don't know me well, you should know that it is my nature to constantly seek change and improvement. Ask my spouse. I want to evolve, but many times this desire is led by my ego and not by God. My spouse, Gina, lives with a culture of constant feedback, and they love it. Yes, feel sorry for them. Please, they need a lot of prayer and patience to live with me. I also learned that I needed to repent like Peter did. I learned in my previous church that I too needed to let go of my ego and my way of doing things to be able to follow the way of Jesus. In our church, although we recite the prayer of confession every Sunday, we don't talk a whole lot about repentance, at least not nearly as much as Pentecostals do, because we have different ideas about what repentance is. And frankly, I think, or at least I prefer to sit in my belovedness and not in my brokenness. According to the Bible, being open to God's Holy Spirit requires that we repent. So what is repentance? It means to change and turn to a life based on God's love. It means changing your mind to embrace a spiritual frame of mind, the mind of Christ. It is more than cleaning up your act. It is changing your mind, changing your direction, changing your heart. It is a continual process and action, not something that happens once and we're done. Most importantly, repentance is an inside job. It begins inside of us. Changing ourselves through the Holy Spirit is hard but rewarding work. Our job as followers of Christ and temples of the Holy Spirit is to listen for the places where we feel discomfort and not run from it. Discomfort at church can help us know what direction we are being asked to grow in. We are to be like plants following the sun, reaching the light, pushing through the dirt, and producing fruits of the Spirit. Avoiding this discomfort or any discomfort is part of how systems of oppression are upheld. Avoiding of discomfort is the central element of white supremacy culture. Therefore, I wholeheartedly believe that to be the people of God, we need to follow our holy discomfort. Sometimes even the change we want can bring along discomfort. As the new leader of the welcome and membership team, I know that when we radically welcome new people in our congregation, we cannot help but be changed as individuals and as a community. That's what it means to love and be loved. That's what it means to be in relationship with one another. That's what it means to build the beloved community and be the people of the resurrected Christ. God requires us to be agents of change, and it is God through the Holy Spirit and within our interpersonal relationships who transforms us. I understand that this might sound scary because church is where we come for comfort and healing, but it's also where we are asked to change and be transformed into the body of Christ if we're doing it right. So before and while we are driven out into the world to bring forth the change we seek to see, let us remember this. Allow the Holy Spirit to abide in us, as Katie preached last week. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, correct us, encourage us, and most importantly, change and transform us before we ask others, our loved ones, our families, our churches, our institution, our society to change. The Holy Spirit is the power that helps us truly change. It convicts us. It works with us and helps us to see where we need to realign our ways with God's way. Living in God's Spirit within the beloved community requires constant renewing of our hearts and minds. Paul writes, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. May we be brave enough to lean into holy discomfort to transform ourselves, our lives, and in turn, the world. Amen and ashe.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the world. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company.
around to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change that lie from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead.
Giving is who we are. It's a part of who we are in the church. We give and give again. When we give, it changes us. It breaks us open. It makes us sympathetic to the needs of others. So let's practice generosity now as we share our gifts this morning. You can give electronically, texting any amount to 84321, or by visiting our webpage, tabunited.org. Please be sure that you indicate what your gift is going towards. So let our morning offering be received.
Shattered, you're all broken inside. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Oh, the potter wants to put you back together again. In case your situation is turned upside down, give him the fragments of your glory.
Let us pray. Gracious God, receive us and our gifts this day. Transform what we have given so that your reign on earth may flourish. Transform us so that we may learn the lessons of how to lead in love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now is the time in the service where we open up this space for you to share if you feel comfortable and would like to share in words what's on your heart. So this is a time of prayer, and we, all of us, are welcome to use the chat function now to reflect on the service or to lift up a joy, a thanksgiving, for the God and the community to know, and also any burdens or struggles or prayer concerns we have that we'd like to lift up. So in just a moment, Elliot and Nicole will be reading those prayers that come in. And so we ask you to be listening and to be lifting up these prayers as well as Elliot and Nicole read them out loud. I'd like to start just with a prayer request from my dad that this morning he shared that a neighbor's house was on fire this morning, and they have just across from them, and it sounds like it's a total destruction of their home. Thank God no one was hurt. They were out of the house, the people there. But he asked us to pray for that family. He gave me the name Nancy, so we lift up Nancy and all that devastation that they're facing. So please be thinking of them and praying for them. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now I'll let Nicole and Elliot read the other prayers that come in for us. Let's share what's on our hearts.
From Lucinda. A former student of mine passed away this past week. He was 16 and an only child. Prayers for his family, his friends, and our school community.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Jim. Prayers of thanksgiving. My brother Paul will be coming home from the rehab facility this Friday, with visits from the occupational therapist in the following weeks. And I've been given a 4-week reprieve to continue working from home.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Todd. I'm so grateful for a fast and very easy recovery from my short prostate cancer treatment procedure, but most especially for the support from this church community.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Alicia. I might need help pronouncing a name. Continued prayers for my friend Darla. She is traveling to Hawaii next week to care for her sick mother. Prayers for safe travel, family cooperation, and her mother's recovery.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Prayers for Lynn Lampman, whose broken ankle is not healing as we'd hoped and has an MRI scheduled tomorrow to figure out What is going on? It has been difficult.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Ron, please keep my brother-in-law, Harold, in prayer. He is at home and slowly recovering from congestive heart failure from his bout with COVID.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Priscilla, joy for the teacher, students, and 30 other volunteers of the second grade Zoom school class that did not confine during this year of COVID.
God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
From Amanda, my brother's car needs the engine replaced as soon as possible. It will be hard for him to get to work otherwise. Additionally, I'm having some health struggles that could use some prayer.
God, in your mercy, hear a prayer.
From Jennifer, Rose, Laura, and Levi, prayers of thankfulness that our students and teachers will get some rest over the summer.
God, in your mercy, hear a prayer.
Thanks to Nicole and Elliot for leading us and lifting up all of our voices as we share in this way. And we give thanks that God also hears the prayers that are not spoken out loud, but hears the ones that remain on our hearts. I do see one more prayer request here, or a couple that I'll lift up from Megan Gibson. Prayers for Araceli, the 13-year-old surviving daughter of Raquel's friend, Courtney. Courtney and her, Courtney and her two children, Amir and Amira, were killed on Friday in a car accident. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We'll be praying for Raquel as well. Prayers of thanksgiving from Verona Stern to Sana and her powerful sermon of transformation, change, and love. Amen to that. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
And from Susan, gratitude for Sana, Jennifer, and Pax for their worship leadership this morning, and for Katie always. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, all of you, for sharing. And we lift up all of these prayers, what's on our heart, and we sing together. So let us sing as we go down to the river and lift up our prayers.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord.
Let us continue to pray. Gracious God, it is in you that we live and move and have our being. We thank you for creating each of us in your image, sacred and beloved. We thank you, God, that we are often pulled to learn about who we are as we are in community with one another. We thank you, God, that you are always with us, helping us and nudging us toward change, to becoming more fully your children and being shaped and formed in the likeness of you. God, we ask that that Sana's words would speak to each of us this morning in a particular way, and that we would dig deep to know where it is that you are asking us to engage with that holy discomfort that moves us toward change. Help us to be humble and open to that movement in our own lives. God, we ask that you would hear all of the cries of your children this morning through prayer. You know what's on our hearts. You know us more than we know ourselves. And you hear us, even our groans and our sighs that are too deep for words. So in all those places, God, we lift up to you our pain and our grief and all that we are carrying. God, would you take that and help us and mold us and transform that grief into action and love and change? Would you be with us, God, in those difficult spaces? We also ask, God, that you would be with us in those places of joy and thanksgiving, and that we would be people of gratitude and remember that all of life is a gift. Help us to find and celebrate those gifts every day. So God, all of these things we ask in your name and your many names and in the name of Jesus, our friend and our liberator, who also taught us to pray. And so let us now join in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, whatever version you know or is comfortable to you, or perhaps you want to try a different version today or a different a way of talking to God. So you can follow along these words on the screen if you'd like. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus asked, "Do you love me? I send you out now to share yourself with the world. We are called to change. You're called to love. May the world in its promise and complexity set you ablaze. Allow the Holy Spirit to abide in you, to guide you, to correct you, to encourage you, but most importantly, to change and transform you in the service of the beloved community. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. May we be brave enough, may we have courage to lean into the holy discomfort, to transform ourselves, our lives, and in turn, the world. Blessed be in Ashe."
Amen. I'll just say amen a couple more times. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
And thank you, Sana, so much for your word, a powerful word.